There have been many unusual battalions and regiments and fighting forces in history. Those of you who've lived a while will recall the fame in years gone by of the Rough Riders, Roosevelt's Rough Riders. And then there was the famous Princess Pat Regiment in Canada. In the Bible, or in our own day, we have the Green Beret. I myself was a member of the paratroopers back in World War II. And, of course, all the way down to the bottom of the line, the Navy. Hello, fellas. But then in the Bible, there was that strange group of left-handed men, 700 Southpaw men who were not left-handed but had been wounded in their right arm and had learned to throw and wield the sword with their left hand, 700 men, a strange battalion. Tonight I want to talk to you about perhaps the most unusual army of them all. The enemies had overrun the country. It was almost impossible to till the soil or to sow the seed for the crops because the enemy had played havoc with the country. The highways were almost deserted because of robbers. People even went to the wells at night to get water because they're afraid to be seen in the daytime. It finally got so bad they hid in the dens of the mountains and in the caves. From this story comes our text. And at this time in the life of God's people comes our hero. His name is Shamgar. Only two things are said about him in all of the Bible. I think we erroneously connect these two things. I do not think they're connected. Two things are said about Shamgar. First place, it says he took an ox goad and slew 600 Philistines. And second, it said he delivered Israel. I think sometimes we think that his killing of the 600 Philistines with the ox goad, I think we sometimes think that is the way that he delivered Israel. But you're not going to deliver Israel by killing 600 Philistines, because the Philistines had a mighty army of tens of thousands of people. So he did two things. He took an ox goad and slew 600 Philistines. And he also, in addition to that, he delivered Israel from the enemy. Normally, in a sermon like this, I would call to your attention Shamgar. Those of you who are old-timers here remember that I preached in a college years ago out west. And I said to the student body when I stood to speak, I said, this morning I'm preaching a sermon on Shamgar. Now, the only thing that's said about Shamgar in the whole Bible is that he took an ox goad and killed 600 Philistines that delivered Israel. That's all said about it. I said, I dare say that most of you students here don't even know who Shamgar was. I said, let me see how many of you students know who Shamgar was. Every student raised their hand. I said, that's good. I said, I dare say you've never heard a sermon on Shamgar. I said, anybody here ever hear a sermon on Shamgar? They all raised their hand. I said, my soul, when did you hear that sermon on Shamgar? One of them hollered, the last time you were here to speak. I said, that's right. I said, this morning I'm preaching the second in a series of sermons on Shamgar. Now, you try a series of sermons on Shamgar sometimes. You try one sermon on Shamgar, but you try two, you're in trouble. But tonight, I'm not going to direct your attention to Shamgar. I'm going to direct your attention to the ox goad. I want to speak tonight on the most unusual battalion in the Bible. Probably. And I want to direct your attention not to the man who wielded the weapon, but the weapon the man wielded. I want to talk to you for a while about the ox goad. Brother John, if you will get that ox goad for me out there, I chose an oxen to get it because he'd know exactly where to find it. And so if the big ox will come with the goad, is it gone? See if it's downstairs. He put it right outside the door. Somebody has stolen my ox goad. Here it is right here. How does it work? Brother John, bend over, would you please? This is a pretty good replica of an ox goad. The ox goads were usually 6 to 8 feet long. They had on one end a point like that. That was to encourage the ox. And it was to prod the ox and to make him want to do what he should do. On the other end, it had sort of a little spade-like thing. Sometimes it was metal, sometimes it was wood. Brother Randy Erickson made this one for me, and I'm indebted to him for it. And this other end was used for the cleaning of the plow. In other words, the plow would get a little mud on it, and you'd just take this the ox goad, and you'd just clean the plow off like that. So one end was for the prodding of the oxen, the animals or any animal that pulled the plow, and the other end was for the cleaning of the plow. Now, I want to call your attention tonight. I want to preach the whole sermon on this instrument right here called the ox goad. First thing I want to say about it is this. It was an old instrument. With all the new instruments of war, the people had forgotten the ox goad. This at one time was all they had. They'd use the ox goad as they would plow in the field, and they would use it to prod the animals that led the plow and to clean off the plow. And I'm sure that you'll notice with the ease that I am wielding this 75-pound piece of wood tonight. What a man. You better know it. What a man. All right. And you understand that back in the early days, they did not have weapons of war, and they would use the ox goad. However, with the passing of time, they began to make instruments of war. And the ox goad, are you listening to me now? The ox goad was cast aside. Listen to me, young ladies, right here on the fourth or fifth row. And the ox, I'm talking to you. The ox goad was cast aside. And because of that, they were not using the old weapon. They'd got some newfangled weapons of war. And Shamgar decided the best thing to him to do was just start swinging this thing. And brother, he just decided that this was for more than oxen. It was for pussyfooters and liberals and compromisers and others, you know. And he just started swinging the thing. Now, I don't know how he did it. I imagine he could get one guy like that. You guys that were in the army, remember the old bayonet, huh? Long thrust. And, boy, it scared you, didn't it? But don't forget, folks, this right here is for your protection and not for your attack. So feel secure instead of scared. But Shamgar decided, fooey on the newfangled instruments. He said, I believe I can take care of a few of these guys with this. So he took the old-fashioned ox goad, and he slew 600 Philistines. Now, tonight, the thing that's happening in America is we're trying to use too many newfangled instruments. I mean the Revised Standard Version and the American Standard Version and the Douay Version and the Amplified Version and the Living Bible and the Moffat's Translation. Here's the guy here that did it, right here, Mr. Moffat himself. And so he repents. And so, but I mean, the honest truth is, the old weapon's all we need. The old weapon is all we need. But somehow we've gotten the idea we need a bunch of new weapons. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16, the prophet who was prophesying, as I mentioned this morning in my sermon, prophesying about the coming of the great armies of Nebuchadnezzar from Babylon to destroy the people. Jeremiah was reminding the people what could prevent the destruction and the captivity. And Jeremiah said, the thing that will prevent it, if it's prevented, he said, ask for the old paths. Ask for the old paths. That's what he said. He said, if you want to avoid God's judgment upon this nation, he said, you ask for the old paths. If you want to keep Nebuchadnezzar from destroying the nation, you ask for the old paths. If you want to keep the armies of Babylon from coming and laying level the city of Jerusalem and destroying the beloved temple and leveling the sacred walls around the city and making homeless the people of the city and taking the people into captivity for 70 years, he said, if you want that prevented, he said, you won't get it in the new paths, you'll get it in the old paths. And ladies and gentlemen, as sure as God be God, and right be right, and wrong be wrong, and good be good, if we save this nation in our generation, we're not going to save it with a bunch of newfangled methods in our churches. We're not going to save it with movies and drama. We're not going to save it with seminars and feminars. We're not going to save it that way. We're going to save it with the tools that made this nation great in the first place. This nation was made great because of that book right there. I mean that one right there. Not a new one. Not the new King James. Not the new Schofield. The nation made great because of that book right there. And Grandpa didn't know there was any other beside that one book there, back there, because Grandpa never had the misfortune of meeting a theologian in his lifetime. And the honest, simple truth is, if this nation saved, brother, it'll be that book that does the saving. If this nation is saved, it'll be the old-time religion of our grandfathers, faith of our fathers living still, in spite of dungeon, fire, and sword. If this nation is saved, she'll be saved because of the old-time religion. If this nation is saved, she'll be saved because of the old-fashioned gospel of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, but it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek and the Gentile. And what I'm saying is this, the salvation of our nation is not going to rest in the White House or the outhouse, neither one. The salvation of our nation, now I hate to say this, Mr. Dukakis will just ruin it faster than Mr. Bush, that's all. I mean, Mr. Reagan didn't save this nation, and Mr. Bush is not going to save this nation. Only one thing will save this nation, that's me. I'm announcing my candidacy tonight for the President of the United States. I mean, only thing going to, you second the nomination. Thank you very, very much. Thank you. How many of you will vote for me? Raise your hand, would you please? I'd settle for that minute just to vote to keep me here as pastor of the church. But I'm saying that the answer, brother, is in Mama's Bible. And the answer is in the old-time gospel, in the old-time religion. And the answer is in the old paths. And so Jeremiah said, he said, if you want to save this nation, he said you seek the old paths. You ask for the old paths. Three times you'll find in the Old Testament, the book of Deuteronomy, you'll find this statement, something like this. Remove not the old or ancient landmarks that your fathers have set. Back in the days when they didn't have surveyors and modern surveying equipment, they put a stone maybe between. They put a stone up like this between the property. On this side is my property. On this side is your property. And they call those the landmarks. Usually they were stones, sometimes a piece of wood driven in the ground, a sturdy piece of wood driven in the ground, but usually just a stone. Now, this is my property over here, and this is your property over here. Now, if I wanted to usurp some of your property while you weren't looking, I'd move that stone just like that. And the landmark would move just a little bit. I'd say, for example, hey, look back there, what's going on? And I'd move it over just a little bit. And inch by inch and step by step, you'd never notice it. You'd never know it was moved. Till one day you'd find that the landmark had been moved and your property was gone and I had your property. Now, ladies and gentlemen, as slowly as the hands on a clock and as slowly as the flight and the journey the sun takes every day, the modernists and the liberals are moving our landmarks. I mean, we don't even know they're moved. But what we better do, we better get the old landmark, just put the old landmark right back where it was. The devil's trying to move the landmark of the Bible, put it right back where it was. The devil's trying to move the landmark of soul winning, put it right back where it was. All across our nation, they're trying to move the landmark of the bus ministry, put it right back where it was. They're trying to move the landmark of old-fashioned prayer, put it right back where it was. Trying to remove the landmark of old-fashioned preaching, and put it right back where it was. You see, it happens a little bit at a time. I was down in your town Thursday. I had a question-answer session. I'd just spoken at the State Christian Education Association and was to speak again that night in the afternoon at 12 o'clock to 1. I had a question-answer session. And somebody said to me, said, what do you think about our schools? I said, they're changing so fast. I believe that our Christian schools in 10 years will be rotten if they keep on changing as fast as they've changed in the last 10 years. And what we're doing is this. We're letting some educators move the landmarks and the preachers don't put the landmarks back where they were. I mean, we're having the landmarks on our dress codes are being moved. The landmarks on our hair standards are being moved. The landmarks on our music and our schools being moved. You know, if a church sings Amazing Grace on Sunday, why can't the school sing Amazing Grace on Monday? I mean, our Christian schools have gotten the idea of the church. We sing Amazing Grace and How Firm a Foundation, and I think I'll just use this every week, but How Firm a Foundation and Amazing Grace. And go to the school on Monday, and we sing All Hail the God and Father of Jacob and Isaac and the Maker of Doodlebugs and so forth. No, sir. I mean, the old-fashioned songs that built the church will build the school. But what's happening is the devil is moving the landmark. A little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit here. And before you know it, everything that's precious to us is gone. Now, I'm saying, you looking at the man that's going to stand and watch the landmarks at First Baptist Church of Hammond as long as he's got breath to breathe and strength to move. And every time I see one moving, I'm going to not only move it back, I'm going to slap the tar to the guy that moved it. I'm simply saying, remove not the old landmarks. The old weapon, Shamgar said, I'm not going to use the newfangled weapons. I'll be back and take two or three of these Philistines with the old ox goad. And so he just took off with the ox goat and killed 600 Philistines. I'm saying that it was the old instrument. Back in the book of Genesis, when Abraham had come to the land, Abraham decided to dig some wells. And he did. He dug some wells. And later on, the Philistines came and they filled those wells. Isaac comes along and the people decide to dig some new wells. But God said to Isaac, he said, don't you dig any new wells. Abraham had digged a well called Beer Lahairoi. And another was dug called Beer Sheba. And another called Rehoboth. And the Philistines came and they filled up these wells. And God said to Isaac, no, don't you dig any new wells. You go right back and redig the old wells. You redig Rehoboth again. You redig Beersheba again. You redig Beer Lahairoi again. You redig the old wells. Now, it's worth our attention to know what these wells meant. The word Rehoboth meant fruitfulness. The word Beersheba meant God's promises. The word Beer Lahairoi meant God's communion or fellowship or prayer with God. So the Rehoboth means fruitfulness, and Beersheba means God's Word, and Beer Lahairoi means prayer, communion with God. Now, I think there's something symbolic here. You see, back yonder, our Christianity in America, I'm talking about our Baptist faith now, in America, was built on a tripod. It was built, one, on the Word of God. That's Beersheba. Two, on fellowship with God, that's Beer Lahairoi. And three, on soul winning, fruitfulness, that's Rehoboth. But the devil is trying to fill tonight
all of these wells that our fathers dug for us. The devil comes along and he says today, he says, the Bible, this book, it doesn't contain the very words of God. The thoughts are important. No, sir. My Bible says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Father. Somebody asked me one time, and I think I mentioned this in a sermon, you believe in verbal inspiration? No, I go farther than that. My Bible says not one jot or tittle. I believe in tittle inspiration. I believe in jottle inspiration. Just call me old jottle and tittle. I believe that every comma and every period and every question mark in this book is inspired by God. And I think God has preserved it for me. But I'm saying that nowadays they come along and they say, the devil says, let's fill up. Let's just fill up the well of the Word of God. Well, let's dig it again. Let's dig it again. And bless God, you're looking at one college that's going to dig the well of the Word of God. And as long as my name's on that college, it's going to believe that this book contains the words of God, and we're going to dig the Bible. It's not going to be the thoughts of God, but the words of God. Well, it said the words of Jesus are the Word of God. No, the whole book is the Word of God. That's one reason I don't care much about red letter editions of the Bible. If you're going to have a red letter edition, put the whole thing in red letters, as far as I'm concerned, because Habakkuk chapter 2 is as much the Word of God as John chapter 3. And God is speaking just as much in Genesis chapter 15 as God is speaking when Jesus spoke in John chapter 3 and 4 and 5. I'm simply saying that the old weapon is the one that worked. And Israel was not delivered with the newfangled weapons. Israel was delivered. And here's what happened. I'll tell you what happened. Shamgar got this ox goad. He killed 600 Philistines. And so, I know what happened. The rest of the Israelites and the army said, we're going to do the same thing. They put aside their Revised Standard ox goads. And they said, we're going to do the same thing. And can you imagine a whole army of people armed with this? I mean, boy, they just came after them and said, you get the point? And they just came after them. And can you see a whole army of people just armed with this? Let me tell you something, folks. Everybody in America seems to want something new. Jeremiah said, ask for the old paths. God said to Isaac, redig the old wells, the well of the Word of God. Now, they're also, thus Philistines, the modern Philistines, are filling up not only the well of the Word of God, that's the well of Beersheba, but they're filling up the well of Rehoboth, that's fruitfulness. They say, soul winning won't work anymore. Let me tell you something, brother. You get this down. If the old-fashioned methods won't succeed, I don't want to succeed. I'd rather fail obeying God than succeed disobeying God. I'd rather use God's methods and not grow than use the devil's methods and grow. I'm simply saying that all across America, they're saying old-fashioned soul winning won't work. Our buses are closing down. Our bus ministries are closing down. Our soul winning programs are closing down. And lifestyle evangelism is taking place of old-fashioned soul winning. My Bible says, publicly and house to house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. My Bible says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And that's not talking about just a preacher behind a pulpit. That's talking about every creature. Not every congregation alone, but every creature. I'm saying it's time that American fundamentalism decided to dig the old well of soul winning again. And it's time some of you folks decided to redig your well of soul winning. There was a time when you loved this book. And yet, your well of love, this love for this book, has been filled up by the evil one. And now, you still listen to Christian radio if there is such a thing. And you still watch Christian TV if there is such a thing. And you still read some pretty good books. But the truth is, the devil's pretty well filled up the well of this book. Now you just get your old spade out, brother, and start digging, and start digging, and start digging, and you dig back the well and get in love with this book again. You've got to turn off your radio station, turn off your television channel, and put your books on the side. You get in love with this book and redig the well of love for this blessed old book. On the other hand, some of you used to go soul winning. There was the day when you had bus routes. There was the day when you passed out tracts on a street corner. There was the day when you used God's method. But the devil's come along, and the devil has filled up the well of Rehoboth of fruitfulness, of soul winning. Get the old shovel out tonight and start digging out the old well and dig the well of soul winning. Get back to soul winning. But you say with the house, I'm sort of timid. Okay, then suck your thumb while you go soul winning. But go soul winning. Get your shovel and dig the well. On the other hand, the beer, Lehi-roi, meant God's communion or communion with God. We call that prayer. Old-fashioned prayer is about gone these days. Not many Christians know anything about real praying. Most of us have never really gotten a hold of God and prayed. I told you the first Sunday morning of this year that all last year I never walked this pulpit one time on a Sunday morning without having spent at least 20 hours alone with God, fellowshipping with God, and in prayer. Sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known in seasons of distress and grief. My soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer. May I thy consolation share till from Mount Pisgah's lofty height I view my home and take my flight. This robe of flesh I'll drop and rise and seize the everlasting prize and shout while passing through the air. Farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. I'm simply saying that hundreds of people in this room, there was a day when you loved this book and the devil has filled up that well. There was a day when you went soul winning and the devil has filled up that well. There was a day when you walked with God and talked with God and spent time on your face alone with God, but the devil has filled that well up with prayer. I say to you, like God said to Isaac, redig the old wells. And like Jeremiah said to people, ask for the old paths. Remove not the ancient landmarks, as Moses said. Remember the story of Rehoboam? Rehoboam was taken over the throne of Israel. He decided he wanted some advice. So he sought the advice of old men. And then he sought the advice of young men. The old men said, the taxes are too high. You ought to lower the taxes. And the young men said, you ought to raise the taxes. Said, raise them. Give them a heavier burden to bear. And instead of listening to the old men, he listened to the young men. Now I want to say this tonight. Not only should America seek the old paths, and should you seek the old paths, not only should America and you seek the not to move the old landmarks, not only should America and you redig the old wells, but it's time we listen to some old people too. It's time we quit listening to a bunch of little long-haired fellows got one whisker on their chin, never run a hot dog stand, think they can run a nation. It's time we listen to some fellows that got a silver on top, either that or flesh on top. It's time we listen to Mama and Daddy. Time we listen to the old-time preachers. When you say, that's the old generation. One lady said to me, she said, you've gone back to the 1950s. I said, no, ma'am, I've gone 1950 years farther back than that. I'm simply saying that Shamgar said, I'm not going to use these newfangled methods. I'm going to take what I got in my hand here, and I'm going to use it. And Shamgar took that, killed 600 Philistines, and his army said, we'll use ours too, and a mighty army of ox goat bearers came and put to flight the enemy and won the battle and delivered the people of God. You remember when David came to Saul and said, let me go fight that big giant that's bellowing out his threats across the valley? And King Saul said, well, you're too small. David said, I took these hands and I killed a lion. He said, a bear came, and I killed a bear. Saul said, well, if you can kill a lion, kill a bear, I'll let you try to kill Goliath. Saul was head and shoulders above all the people. He was the nearest thing to Goliath that Israel had. He said to David, he said, since you're going to do that, I'll be good to you. I'll let you borrow my armor. Well, David put on Saul's coat of armor. Saul wore a 48 long. And David wore a 36 short. And David put Saul's armor on. He walked a half a block and the armor didn't move. And David said, Your Majesty, I don't mean to be unkind to you. I don't mean to be disrespectful to His Majesty. But he said, I can't use your armor. He said, I got a slingshot here, and I'll pick up a few stones along the way, and I'll use that. That's what I've been using, he said. That's all I had to kill the bear. That's all I had to kill the lion. That's all I need to kill Goliath. But Saul said, now, wait a minute. Said, look, I think you ought to have this, my armor. And David said these words. He said, I cannot go with these because I have not proved them. Mr. Shuler's possibility of thinking has not been proved. It's never saved the nation. Billy Sunday's old-fashioned gospel has saved the nation. Mr. Norman Vincent Peale's power positive thinking has not saved the nation. It has not been proved. But Dwight L. Moody's old-time gospel has been proved. And that book has been proved. And soul winning has been proved. And old-time preaching has been proved. And the old-time gospel has been proved. And old-fashioned hellfire and brimstone pulpiteering has been proved. And preaching and loving this book has been proved. And all that praying has been proved. David said, I cannot go with these. I've not proved them, but I've proved this slingshot. But for 41 years, I've proved that book. For 41 years, I've proved walking with God and praying. For 41 years, I've proved soul winning. I cannot go with possibility thinking. I've not proved them. I cannot go with the new Bibles. I have not proved them. I cannot go with lifestyle evangelism, I have not proved them. But bless God, I have proved in over 46,000 sermons and over 41 years of preaching, I was ordained to preach the gospel 41 years ago this afternoon. I have proved. I know what I'm talking about. I have proved the old weapons. Shamgar said, just give me the old weapons. Philistines filled the well of have filled the well of soul winning in our nation. Let's dig them back. Philistines have filled the well of prayer in our nation. Let's dig it back. The Philistines have filled the well of the power of the Holy Spirit. We Baptists have gotten afraid of that power because the charismatics have taken it and perverted it. Let's redig the well of the Holy Spirit's power. Let's redig the well of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Let's redig the well of the old-fashioned baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I'm not talking about wildfire tongue talking. I'm talking about the old-fashioned endowment of power. So when we speak, God speaks. The Philistines have filled the well of the old-time religion. Let's dig it back. They filled the well of the Bible. Let's dig it back. They filled the well of old-time preaching. Let's dig it back. Something else I want you to notice about this ox goat. Not only was it the old weapon, but it was a two-edged weapon. Edge here, an edge here. This edge, right here, was for prodding. Somebody asked William Carey, the great old missionary, asked him what was the secret to his success. And William Carey said, I can prod. I can prod. That's what this was for. This is what I do to you. What I do to you young folks about your dirty rock music. That's what I do to you about your video machines and your movies. That's what America needs. America needs some preachers to cry out against sin. I mean, this two-edged sword we have, Paul tells us, not just one edge, but two. But by the way, this other edge was for cleaning. This edge for prodding. This edge for cleaning. God wants some Christians who are prodded to obey Him and clean to do His work. There's something else about this ox goad. Not only was it the old instrument, not only was it the two-edged instrument. By the way, let me say this. If you're going to build a church, you've got to do both. If you're going to rear kids, you've got to do both. You've got to use this end as well as this end. And you wash their ears with this end and stick something else with this end. It's going to take it. Well, I just don't believe in negative preaching. You're full of prunes. Old Dr. Bill Rice was up in Canada one time.
He's preached one night on what's wrong with the movies, and next night on what's wrong with dancing, next night on what's wrong with smoking, next night on what's wrong with drinking. And a committee came and said, Dr. Rice, we insist that you preach positive sermons and no more negative sermons. Dr. Bill said, okay, I'll do it. He said, tomorrow night, I promise you, I'll preach a positive sermon. He announced he was going to do it. Put it on the radio. He's going to preach a positive sermon. No more negative preaching. Positive sermon. Boy, they came with the thousands to hear him. He stood and said, folks, I want to apologize to you. I've been preaching too much negative. The committee has come to me and said, I've been preaching too much on what's wrong with the movies, what's wrong with dancing, what's wrong with drinking, what's wrong with smoking. He said, I guess they're right. I'm going to preach a positive sermon. He said, point number one, I'm positive against the movies. Point number two, I'm positive against dancing. Point number three, I'm positive I'm against drinking. Point number four, I'm positive I'm against smoking. I haven't got time to go to the other 96 points he had. There's a third thing. I love this. Everybody had one. Everybody had one. I mean, God will not make, he will not require you to have anything for success in his service that is not available to everybody. Eloquence is not available to everybody. But the book is. Intellectualism is not available to everybody. Just to Eric Miller and me, that's all. And I'm worried about him. He said some mighty thing, unintellectual things tonight. But prayer is. Everybody can come boldly to the throne of grace. Everybody can use the weapon of the Word of God. Everybody can witness and win souls to Jesus Christ. Everybody can be filled with the Holy Spirit, who will pay the price of being filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm simply saying that this old ox goad, everybody had one. Every Jewish man had an ox goad. And they said, we'll use what we have. Ask your question tonight. How much did you pray this week? Oh, I stand up here and I say, boy, let's put prayer back into public schools. And I'm for that. But I'm also putting it back in a Christian home. I'm also for putting it back in your life. We got folks that'll spend all their time trying to get prayer back in the public schools and don't pray themselves. I like to see some old-fashioned praying in the Christian schools. I like to see old-fashioned praying by God's people. I'm talking to folks with the hundreds tonight. You haven't prayed 5 minutes all week long. You're a fundamentalist. You cross every fundamental T, not every fundamental I, but you haven't prayed 5 minutes all week long. What's happened? The devil has filled up your well. Dig it out. Just dig it out. And say, with the grace of God, I'm not going to be a sham and a hypocrite in the Christian life. I am going to walk with my God. Redig the well. Get it dug up again. Get on your face and get to know God. Others of you haven't read a chapter of that book all week long. Unless it was outside reading for a Bible class. If you haven't read 25 chapters of that book this week, you need to get your old shovel out and dig some wells. See what I said? I said, if you haven't read 25 chapters in that book this week, you need to do some well digging. The devil's come along and the devil has filled up the old well of your prayer life. He's filled up the old well of your Bible reading. He's filled up your old well of your soul winning. One of the sad things about a church like this is some of the best people in a church like this, when they get to a certain age, they decide to turn over soul winning to the younger people. I've served my time. You haven't served your time until you breathed your last breath. You're supposed to be my Bible says in John 14:12, that he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do. And greater works than these shall do because they go to my Father. He that believeth on me, that's a 6-year-old that believes on him, is supposed to be a soul winner. A 16-year-old that believes on him is supposed to be a soul winner. A 60-year-old that believes on him is supposed to be a soul winner. A 75-year-old who believes on him is supposed to be a soul winner. We have ladies in their 70s go soul winning here every week. Some of the finest foster club members we have are in their 70s right here.
If I ask everybody in this room tonight who's been soul winning this week to stand up, it would shock you how many people would stand up. I'll guarantee you we'd have 4,000 people if we had one to stand up tonight in this room and said they went soul winning. But they can't answer for you. You've lived off the blessings of somebody else long enough. And you've got to face God for yourself. You stand before God, God's not going to accept the fact that you belonged to a soul winning church. God's going to want to know what you did to get people out of hell. The old well has been filled up. The old soul winning well. Dig it up! Dig it up! Get back on the street corner. Get back with your gospel tracts. Get back in your bus route. Get back in your Sunday school class. Get back to the old fashioned soul winning that you used to do. Redig the well. One other thing I want to say about it. I think the thing about Shamgar, it caused the battle to be won. I think, look, Brother John, I'm Shamgar. You're in my army. And I just killed 600 Philistines with this. Anything you'd like to do? You like one of those? Get up. Start fighting, man. I killed 600. He wounded 6. What do you want to do, brother? Huh? You want to kill some Philistines?
There it is right there. Start off, man.
You see, you know what happened in this church? A little old country preacher came here 30 years ago and went soul winning, and people said, I believe I can do that too. And it just caught on. Let me ask you a question. What do you inspire folks to do? Listen to rock music? What do you inspire people to do? Fuss and fight? What do you inspire people to do? Gossip and scuttlebutt? Old Shamgar took his ox gold. And man, everybody there grabbed his ox gold and said, let's see if I can get some of those Philistines too. And because he inspired the people to use what they had, the old time weapons, the old weapons that had been tested and proved in battle, the battle was won. Been around a long time. 41 years ago this afternoon, I sat before an ordaining council. Actually, as far as the Sunday is concerned, the day is actually tomorrow, the 17th of October. But I sat on a Sunday afternoon, as far as Sundays are concerned, 41 years ago today. And I sat over here in this corner, a little group of people in the auditorium, and I was ordained to preach the gospel. And I was pastor of a New Testament church. It's been a wonderful 41 years. Tell what you do. You get some tapes of my first sermons and listen to them. You'd be amazed how much like the one tonight they are. I just promised God years ago I was going to stick with what works. And by the way, if it don't work, I'm going to stick with God's command. And stick with God's book. My convictions are what they were. As the dress styles have come and gone, my convictions have stayed the same. As the hairstyles have come and gone, my convictions have stayed the same. I tell preachers across the country, the only difference in me and you is I preach now what you practiced 20 years ago. That's all. The old time religion. Faith of our fathers living still in spite of dungeon fire. I want to tell you something, one other thing, I'll quit. The three things I've not quit. There's not been a single 7-day period since 1948. Not one single 7-day period that I haven't won someone to Christ personally. I'm talking about the church in the aisle. I'm talking about in personal confrontation, soul winning. For 41 years, this book has been my portion. And for 41 years, I've done what I can to walk with God. I ask you a simple question tonight. Has the devil filled up your wells? Huh? Is the well of your prayer life all plugged up tonight? Huh? Let's dig it out. You know the best place to dig is an altar. Just dig it out. Has the well of your love and use and reading of this book has it been filled up with the devil? That's what the devil's trying to do. Devil doesn't mind us having a bunch of seminars. Devil doesn't mind us having a bunch of drama. Devil doesn't mind us having a bunch of movies. He doesn't mind that. He just doesn't want us to preach the book. He doesn't want us to walk with our God. He doesn't want us to get people saved. I'm talking to folks tonight. There was a day, you remember, there was a day when you were vitally interested in this book. It was a day when you loved it. You could say, sing them over again to me, wonderful words of God. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of God. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty, beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. But no longer. Bible doesn't mean much to you, does it? Let's get back to it. It was a day when the souls of men were the object of your compassion and love, but the well's been all filled up. I've pastored you for a long time. I've preached hundreds and thousands of sermons from behind this very desk. This is the very pulpit I preached from the first day I preached here, almost 30 years ago. Just had it overhauled every time we bought some new furniture, just put new outside on the pulpit and decorated the outside. I've preached behind this pulpit a long time. I've seen a lot of you come and go. I've seen you get excited about soul winning. I've seen you drift away. Just dig the well tonight. Just dig the well. The other day, and I'm through when I finish this little statement. The other day I was down in a place where I preached, where I baptized my first convert. You folks will see it in a few months. I saw the little pond behind the Dinkles house there. I saw where I baptized my first convert. I saw the house where I almost got shot one time. A lady called me and said, come quickly, my husband's going to kill me. He's got the gun pointed to my head, pulled the trigger, but there were no bullets. He's going to buy bullets. He's going to come back to kill me. She said, come quickly. I went down. I got in front of her, and I said to her husband, when he got back with a loaded gun, he pointed it toward me. He said, Reverend, get out of the way. I said, you're not going to kill your wife. You may kill me, but you'll have to kill me first if you kill your wife. He said, Reverend, I'm going to give you a little while. I'm going to shoot you. I'm going to kill my wife, and if I've got to kill you to kill her, I'll kill you. I said, okay. And while you're doing it, I'm going to tell you that God loves you. And I'm going to tell you the plan of salvation. And I'm going to tell you that you're a sinner. That sinners are lost. And I told him the wonderful Roman road plan of salvation. I saw him as he eased his grip on that gun. That's when I shouted the first time. I saw him as he walked up and handed me the gun and fell on his face and got converted. In the pond right behind his house, I baptized him. I saw the little church where I had my first wedding, where I preached my first revival. I saw the funeral home where I preached my first funeral. I saw the altar where I had my first wedding. It's been 41 years since then. Brother, I'm more convinced than I ever have been that the old weapon is what we need.